From Jinden to Tarago, Bungendore to Nelligan, Braidwood FM, your local radio station.
I would like to acknowledge the original owners of this land, the Wurundjeri people, and give my respect to elders past, present and future. Tonight is going to be an interesting night. Our timekeeper, Mr. Kemp, will be sticking strictly to times. The leaders will have 4 minutes to introduce themselves. Should a member of their ticket wish to speak, they will have 3 minutes. When we get to question time, there will be around about 3 minutes for an answer because we have, and it's great, you know, sub-government. It's terrific to see so many people here. Without further ado, I'd like to hand over to Sue Murray, who is very much responsible, along with others, for getting this together. Sue, the microphone is there. And if I could ask people who will be answering questions, if you could pass the microphone to the next question and the next person who is answering.
Okay, it's great to see so many people here. Welcome to everyone in the audience and welcome to all our candidates. Thank you all so much for coming. It's lovely to see the faces. I've got the names, now we've got the faces. I just wanted to, on behalf of the Braidwood Community Association and the is all right, Nick, on behalf of the Braidwood Villages Business Chamber, just to say a couple of things, mainly to the candidates, actually. When we were preparing for this event, I asked my committee, the BCA committee, what we should say to the candidates, and I got some very good advice. And the advice was this. It's very important to impress on all the potential candidates the high level of community interest and engagement they can expect from the residents of Braidwood. We all know, and they will find out, that Braidwood is not a passive community. We are very self-organising. We are engaged. We are proactive. We're not looking for handouts, but we are looking for cooperation. So we feel that being a good council means working with the community and not just for the community. There's a difference. We don't want anyone on the council hindering the work that we initiate, and we do initiate a lot ourselves. What we're looking for is support with the ideas that we have and the projects that we feel are important. We know our community better than most of the candidates here, but we do hope that in time they will get to know us as well. Just wanted to point out that we are a small community. I mean, compared to the larger population centres in the area, in the LGA, there's not many of us, but, you know, we're going to make up for that in being proactive and letting them know what we want. We all know we've been through a terrible time in the last, well, not even 2 years. I mean, before that we had the drought, and the rest of it you all know, so I won't go into the details, but we really have had a hard time. We don't want people to feel sorry for us, but we do want that acknowledged, I think. So, look, I just feel like we already have we have a history of working with council. We have successfully worked with the previous council. We've successfully worked with the previous council staff. We've set up some really good relationships with some of the staff members, and we found them really, really helpful once they understand what we need. The other thing that's really important, I think, is that we need careful planning from now on. We haven't had very careful planning in the past, and that's something that we really have to emphasise. We can't just let things keep happening. We have to plan for things. So the strategic plan, the structure plan that we've suggested is going to be really important. So I just want to thank all of you for coming tonight, and just say that whoever is finally elected, we look forward to working constructively with you. We want you to know what a wonderful community we are, and the best way to find that out is to come and talk to us. So you'll be very welcome anytime you want to come. Love to get to know you better. Thank you.
Our first candidate, these orders of speaking have been randomly decided, will be Katrina Willis from the Greens.
I have the wrong piece of paper. Off to a sterling start, folks.
There you go. Thank that you. Is mainly for you for the questions.
Okay. All right. It is the Liberals group, Louise Burton.
Although I think my voice normally carries, so I'm not sure that I need this. So everyone, good evening. Thank you so much for inviting us here tonight to speak with you in the run-up to this very important election for the Queanbeyan-Pelorang region. My name's Jackie Tanuth and I'm here with Louise Burton, and together we are number one and two on the Liberal Party group ticket. So this year we have six candidates on our ticket, which range from all corners of the electorate. We have members from Wamboyne, from Googong, from Jerrabomberah, from Mount Fairy and from Bungendore. We don't have a Braidwood candidate. However, we do have a Braidwood branch in our party, and now those members have helped us to develop the 9-point policy plan we are taking to the election. This ensures that we are able to represent all members of our community, and this will and always will be a core consideration for members of the Liberal Council team. So while we haven't announced our 9-point policy plan yet, there's a couple of points that we would like to share with you this evening. So I'm going to hand over to Louise to discuss a couple of those.
Thanks, Jackie. So as Jackie said, our ticket does represent nearly all corners of our electorate here. I'm a resident of Wamboyne, and an issue close to my heart is the maintenance of country roads. Roads are one of the core businesses of the council, and the QPRC has been failing country people in this area. Our number one policy aim is to improve council's response to road repairs and road building. Dirt roads are more dangerous and cost more to maintain over their life than a sealed road. This through-life cost will eventually catch up with council, and it must be addressed. Even the main street here in Braidwood, we noticed, needs attention after the weekend's rain. Clearly, this is a significant issue for Braidwood as well. Having read this week and received this week the results of the Braidwood Community Association survey of your new priority projects, I wasn't at all surprised to see that better maintenance of unsealed roads was number one on your list. But seeing this result has also reinforced for our Liberal ticket how important the maintenance of roads are for all QPRC residents. And while talking about roads, another one of our policies that we're taking to the election concerns the consultation on the Braidwood bypass. We believe that discussion and conceptual planning for this bypass is overdue, and if elected, our Liberal team will start this conversation. It's vital in order for us to be able to hand back the main street of Braidwood to your residents and tourists. We were not surprised to see this issue as well included at second place in your survey of priority projects, and that a long-term strategic plan for Braidwood and its heritage element. We agree this bypass is a critical component of the broader plan for Braidwood's future. The consultation and planning is the first step in this endeavour. And while we're speaking of consultation and planning, Jackie is going to discuss another of our policy measures.
Yes, thanks, Louise. Yes, so this is another issue which affects us all, and that's of development applications. So simply put, the council's development application process is outdated, it's really complicated and frustratingly slow. So this needs our attention. You know, an application for a pergola or a shed or a fireplace should not be the same as our 100 lot subdivision. So should we be elected, individuals need assistance in making these applications, and that assistance should be provided by council. As such, we will work to enhance small application processes and seek to provide a full-time advisory service for individual applicants. So while this policy and some of us others are not unique to Braidwood region, we recognise that Braidwood residents have unique challenges And those differ to other areas of this electorate. So, for example, you know, your remoteness from Queanbeyan and also the fact that you are on the New South Wales Heritage
List. I'm afraid that's time.
Thank you for your time this evening. We look forward to speaking to you.
Our next speaker is Marita Grundy from the Grundy Group, an independent.
Now is the time for reform with this council. Group B has the courage, wisdom, and policies to take on the bureaucracy and push the reset button on this council. We're a group of politically independent people running successful small businesses and rural operations. With over 120 years of combined experience in local business and community service, we want voters to put that experience to work for them on council. So who is Group B? I'm Marita Grundy. I'm a farmer's daughter and resident of Bywong, just up the road, for over 25 years. I've worked in the health sector with defence, the Raiders, government, with multinational companies, and have run a small business. I can hold my own around a negotiation table. Group B has also Councillor Trevor Hicks. He's like Braidwood's adopted son. Councillor Hicks has fought hard for communities like Braidwood over the years. Trevor is here with us tonight. Braidwood's dual citizen of the year, Jamie Reynolds, is part of Group B too. He's passionate about the people of Braidwood and has a long history, as long as your arm, of community service. Jamie is also here with us tonight. Group B also has Frank Bresnik, John Rez, Bonnie O'Brien, and Daniel Edwards. Daniel joins us with his wife here tonight. A group of seven, we are one of the most diverse groups in the election, representing communities from Braidwood, Bywong, Queanbeyan, Googong, Captain's Flat and Bungendore. But we will ensure everyone is represented and no one is left behind. Group B is particularly concerned about the state of Braidwood's Main Street, its decaying roads, the traffic and parking problems, the way fees and charges keep rising, and how Braidwood's business is in a holding pattern due to heritage issues and the lack of clarity around council planning. So what can Group B offer the people of Braidwood and villages? An understanding that regional needs are different to the city. Progress on the main street, traffic bottlenecks and parking problems. Better support for local business, a fairer share for the regions. Regional roads will be given higher priority. Delivery of essentials before gold-plated extras. Greater scrutiny of financial operations, support for a stronger tourism economy, and clarity around new housing and commercial space in Braidwood. And a strong push for an independent review of council for focused reforms to expose dysfunction and waste. This sort of independent review would be a game changer in resetting the council and making sure it's structured and focused appropriately to serve the best interests of all of its people. Group B aims to turn this council around and set the region up as a leader in lifestyle and ratepayer satisfaction across New South Wales. We are Group B. We are independent. We are no nonsense. And we have a strong voice and a new vision for Queanbeyan Palarang Regional Council. I invite you to vote one, Group B, to be part of a better future. Thank you.
Thank you, Marita. Our next speaker is Michael Biscotti, independent.
Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you for the warm welcome. It's great to see some familiar faces and certainly other faces that I haven't met yet. I'm Michael Biscotti, or Michele Biscotti, and I'm the lead candidate of Group G. Our group are Koimyan Palarang locals who live and love our home. We are passionate about building the best future for our community. We are dedicated to advocating for fairer representation. We're resilient and we work tirelessly for the betterment of our community. But I'm here to tell you four important things tonight, and these and what we stand for. Firstly, the next elected term of council is only 2.5 years. It is critical that the newly elected council are across the local government area pressure points, pressure and touch points. My team and I feel that we are best to represent that. We represent a balance of formal qualifications from postgraduate degrees to masters and have extensive experience in the community to what matters most to the community, from small business to sports, to parks, to roads, to recreational spaces. Secondly, the next term of council must deliver more than $2 million worth of capital works as detailed and adopted in the operational plan of 21-22. Now, this includes $100 million and $150 million for Koimyan, equating to about $3 million per capita, and some key projects there are Koimyan Civic and Cultural Precinct, the Monaro Street and Laneways upgrade, and the delivery of South Jerrabombra Regional Sports Complex. Now, for Bungendore, $20 million, equating to about $11 million per capita. And some key projects there is the Bungendore Sports Hub, the $10 million for the new pool, and council and civic spaces, which potentially may include a new community library. And for Braidwood, $16 million, equating to approximately $10 million per capita. And it's about the delivery of LaSalle Street upgrade, the relocation of the council depot, the construction of the car park, and the completion of Nerriga Road. It is critical for the next term of council that the major works and projects are delivered within budget and on schedule. Now, what we've seen in the current council is significant implications to the schedule of works projects, due to natural disasters and a global pandemic. And council and the current council requiring to navigate through this to deliver those works schedules. Given the current financial position and that the next term of council is only 2.5 years, it would be prudent not to over promise and under deliver, but to deliver what has been promised. Thirdly, continuation of responsible financial management. Our team will ensure the achievement of New South Wales Government financial benchmarks through Council's 10-year long-term financial plan, which provides a provision of a 1% real increase over the rate peg at 2.5% as a special rate variation to meet the Government financial benchmarks and reasonably sustain the level of expenditure, both capital and operational, for the immediately foreseeable planning period of 10 years. The financial performance of QPRC directly relates impacts on the ability to provide key services and infrastructure to our communities. And fourthly, is strong advocation for further funding from the state government. In conclusion, we are dedicated and committed to your vision for a stronger future for QPRC. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Bryce Wilson of the Labor Group.
Do you want me to stand or be seated? I'm about 6 foot five, so 6 foot six. But so last time I was here to meet the candidates, it was for the Monaro election, and I had Andrew Thaler with a Lego set. So this is much more pleasant. If anyone's worked with Andrew, he's an interesting character. Can I just start by adding my voice to the acknowledgement of country and stating that we do have to work harder on reconciliation and to find reconciliation with our First Nations people. On that front, the ticket, which I'm sure you're going to see a deal in your mailbox pretty soon, I have Esma Livermore running on the Labor ticket, and Esma will be the first female Aboriginal woman elected to QPRC, that's no doubt, but possibly even Queanbeyan for quite some time. So I'm very proud of that ticket. So anyway, thank you for having me back. I've been here a few times. Obviously in Monaro I came and visited a few times. Yes, I do love Mark's Bread at Dojo, and I think the finger buns at the bakery are exceptional. although without offending anyone else, I do enjoy walking the main street. In the Monaro election, we worked really well with the community, and I was really proud to get out there and announce like $1 million for the pool. I know that's actually going to the change room, so the pool now. There's still a bit of work to do on that, and work with Sue and the team, the swimmers there. It was a really, really good outcome. I'm not new to the area, but you know what? I'm not a local. I'm not going to pretend that for a moment. And obviously, you guys are going to be focusing on that balance between, you know, that local representation that's going to, you know, try and fight for your interests, but also with that broader interest of the Aisha Hold QPRC. So, I'll probably say if you're going to vote for the local person and you're not sure if that's going to go all the way or that's going to get a quota, for example, maybe you're going to vote for Bill and you think about where you're going to put your second preference, I'd encourage you to pick and think about someone from either my ticket or anyone else's ticket even that might be from the Palarang region and park that preference there, because as we learn in the Monaro election, if you don't preference beyond that one, they can often exhaust. And it is a really, really disappointing thing when that vote disappears. So I'll just put that there and other speakers might speak to that. Look, my ticket, we've got three reasons we're running, and that is we're part of the community. We've got a positive plan for our area, and we've got a strong Labor voice. I'm proudly Labor. Those that vote Labor regularly, I want you to vote Labor this election. You know, we're going to run and we're going to make you very proud of what we're going to do on climate action, reconciliation, consultation. You know the values that we carry, the people that have gone before us in Steve Wan and Christy McBain, our wonderful local member, they're proud to be backing us. So if you vote Labor, you know what you're going to get. You know the values we're going to carry and you know what projects we're going to push forward. I'm happy to do the Q&A. I don't want to spend too long, you know, talking all night. I actually much prefer to meet the candidates. It's wonderful when the Q&A sessions happen. That's, I think, as we get to the bottom of things a bit better. So I won't go on. I'll just tell you a little bit about our ticket. So part of the community, John Preston. John's here. John's from Bungendore, well-known community member. He's from Palarang area. I won't mention the war that is the merger. We were sort of a little bit agnostic about the merger. Rural roads, when you get rid of graders, you know, rural roads don't get graded. That's what happens. So, look, this is a really tricky space. I think that egg is pretty much, I know there was a motion recently, but that's a tricky one, that the demerge or merge. But I think some of the issues we're having with consultation decisions is based from that merger. We still haven't quite got through that. But know that it also as a Labor ticket, if you know, we're going to make sure we back local jobs, but also council jobs. We won't be seeing any closing of offices or anything locally if we're on council. So I'll probably just finish with some of our, you know, positive plan sort of thing. We're going to, you know, we want to focus on local jobs. So we want to focus on climate action. I want to build a sustainable and cleaner QPRC and really consult with the community on that. So thank you very much. Any questions, feel free to direct them to John as well as we go in the night on. Thanks.
Thank you, Bryce. Our next speaker is John Mangos, Independent.
That's all right. Okay.
Can you hear me there?
Yeah, it's for the radio.
Okay. Thanks for having me today. Look, I am an independent. This is my first run at council. We are Group H, and along with me, I have six others. So we have a broad representation across the community. Mark Ristic, who's from Bungendore, he owns the Caltex service station there. We've got Ray Callan, who's originally from Majors Creek and out this way, so his family is long-running people out this way. And myself, Queanbeyan Jerribombra, and we have two younger people who are 24 and 26, respectively, who are bringing up what I mean, and we're trying to sort of bed them in for, you know, down the track. But look, if I move on to the question type things that were sent out, the performance of QPR is probably dependent on where you are in the region. In some areas, I think people think it's quite good. Other areas, probably not as good. But my background in my working life has been since 98 in a regional role. I'm an architectural draftsman, an architectural technician. So I'm dealing with DAs every week, and I have done ever since 91. So I understand there's a big problem with DAs at the moment, and I also deal with the likes of Goulburn, Maiwari, Snowy Shire, Yirrabadella, and I can tell you right now, dealing with QPR and DAs is a nightmare. So that is something, you know, on our target. Apart from that, you know, doing a regional role, I've spent areas such as architecture consultant for Stigbar across the region. I have dealt with people here in Bungendore before and Braidwood. So, you know, we supplied Braidwood rural supplies with timber and flooring and things like that. So HIA, I was the membership services manager there for a number of years. Lee Edwards from Solar Powered Solutions. I did a fair bit of work with him in the early days. I run the Green Smart program for HIA. I still teach that today. My role at the moment, full-time, is I work for the ANU as a program and infrastructure officer. So I have a very broad set of skills. But saying that, my team, they are builders, they are business owners within the local community. They have their own businesses. They've worked for large companies, small companies, and pretty much what I would like to see is Queanbeyan Palarang Regional Council area live up to its potential. Across all of these areas that I've visited, you can always tell which shire or council is struggling to do their work. And I keep on coming back to this region. And you think, what is wrong with it? Why aren't we living up to our potential? And part of that, I think, is we're in the shadow of the ACT. I'd like to try and, you know, promote that we get around that and, you know, have our own focus, more centric on our own areas. And if I look at, you know, the Braidwood issues, heritage is definitely an issue up there. So I've dealt with heritage across Queanbeyan Council many, many years in the previous times. And heritage for Braidwood, I think, is very unique because it's such a beautiful main street. And again, I think it's underdone. We need a really good heritage policy there because I've seen many people come unstuck when they just want to go and do a heritage project, and it's one rule for one group of people, one for another. And I think the biggest question people are asking now, the new council chambers have been knocked down and being built, the heritage place has been knocked down without too much consultation, and but other people who want to do something to their own house can't really even get a proper answer out of the council. So again, roads and rates and rubbish is probably something, but particularly roads, you can tell, you know, where the money goes. And apart from that, we're looking at water security, growth strategy with residential and commercial rezoning to you know, fund this growth. So we just hopefully get things going for QPR. Thank you.
Thank you, John. The next speaker is from the Greens Group, Katrina Willis.
I'll stand up so you can see me, but if you don't mind, I'll sit down so I can read my notes. Thanks. I'd like to thank the organisers of this evening's event and everyone who's come along to learn more about the candidates for council. I'd also like to acknowledge that we're meeting on the lands of First Nations people and pay my respect to their elders past and present, and echo Bryce's comments about doing better on reconciliation. My name is Katrina Willis and I'm standing for election on behalf of the Greens and with support candidate Forbes Gordon, whom I'm sure many of you know. I was born in Sydney and I came to the capital region to work in Parliament House. I live in Queanbeyan, which has been my home for almost 30 years. I'm active in the local land care group, founded the Railway Park Organic Community Garden and am convener of the Queanbeyan Sustainability Group. I'm a shareholder in the Jerrabombra Community Bank and a member of the Queanbeyan and District Historical Museum Society. I'm seeking election to council to help drive the changes we need to create a safe, fair and sustainable future for everyone. I also want to facilitate more meaningful involvement in local government and genuine consultation. Many voters in our nation seem to have given up on the potential for politics to improve our lives, including to protect the natural world that sustains us. Yet it is only by working together that we can meet the challenges we face and create opportunities for a socially just and ecologically sustainable society. I'm particularly concerned that our current council has not done enough to address climate change. Here in Braidwood and surrounding areas, you experience some of the worst impacts: drought, bushfires and flood in short order. While we need Australian and state governments to step up their climate action, there is more that we can and should do locally, and our council should be using all the powers at its disposal. A common concern talking with Braidwood residents and small business owners over the past few months is that often people don't feel heard. I would like to explore new forums for participation that provide for discussion, both with community setting the agenda and council testing ideas and options at earlier stages of a process, so we don't find out a decision's been made in a closed council session and people have no influence over the outcome. Grassroots participatory democracy is one of the Greens' four pillars, along with ecological sustainability, social justice, and peace and non-violence. The Greens' priorities for this election reflect those principles: doing more to address climate change, protecting our local environment, focusing on community needs and genuine engagement, and transparent and accountable government. Many of the matters this community has raised through its representative groups and the surveys that we've received and we will reply to in writing, they're reflected in our priorities, and that includes water security, protecting and enhancing the local environment, accommodating more homes, affordable housing and facilities for community groups, transport for medical services outside of the town, getting to and from the major centres, and in dealing with the roads issue. Protecting Braidwood's unique heritage, and that needs more funding because it's not fair for the state government to say this place is unique but we won't help you look after it. With most sitting councillors retiring, we have an opportunity for a fresh start, for a new council that will work together to address these matters and to create new opportunities for our towns, villages and rural districts so they remain appealing places to live, do business and visit. Thank you.
Thank you, Katrina. Next speaker is James Holgate, an independent.
Hello. Oh, this is for the radio. I really will need to speak up if it's turned off. Yeah, James Holgate, independent, genuinely independent. It's interesting, Bryce, you said you know what you get with Labor and Liberal and probably the Greens as well. Historically, look, I've had a bit of an interest in politics for long years, a long time. I've studied it at university. When I was even younger than I am now, I tended to vote for either of the major parties. But I think the last time I actually voted positively in a federal election anyway was for Paul Keating when he lost. And so it's been a sort of lamentation of mine. I guess what I want to do is represent people who are not here tonight. And congratulations, everyone, for coming here and participating. This is a wonderful opportunity to do this, and we live in a great country. I've lived and worked overseas for many years, and I've come back and live in Queanbeyan now, where I've been for about 11 years. I grew up in Cooma. My family, three beautiful daughters, grew up in Australia and overseas, and I do appreciate this country, which I think is not often done by many Australians. But as I said, I want to genuinely represent people who are not here. And so while I sort of say amen to many of the policies and so on, that Labor, the Greens certainly, and the Liberal Party, I know, just to sort of quote Margaret Thatcher, she said of the trouble of socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money to spend. And again, I don't want to sound like Groucho Marx, who said, I do have principles, but if you don't like them, I do have others. Honestly, I'm interested in what goes on here in local government. I think I can represent, as I said, people who are not here. I'm very interested in the way the money's being handled, and I want it to be spent fairly. It's as simple as that. I'll just give you my little spiel here. I'm independent, practical and objective. I'll ensure council is spending your money fairly, efficiently and will be held to account ethically, environmentally and socially. I have no political affiliation and will promote all residents' interests fairly. I accept no financial donations and want to hear what your ideas to help promote and realise the great potential of this fabulous region. I'm interested in learning how your rates are spent and how federal and state government grants are allocated to ensure council decisions are not beholden to profiteering, political or other vested interests. So, as I said, I'm interested in results. I mostly agree, and Katrina and I actually met. I know it's a pretty redoubtable crowd here in Braidwood, I'd say, and we did agree on a lot of things. Anyway, I think I'll bring something different and a genuine interest in the region's moving forward constructively. Thanks very much.
Thank you, James. Our next speaker is Kenrick Winchester, Independent.
Thank you. I would also like to start by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land we meet on today and pay respects to elders past and present. For those that I haven't met, my name's Kenrick Winchester. I'm a current QPRC councillor and was a Queanbeyan City councillor prior to that. I'm the lead candidate for Group F in the upcoming election. I'm genuinely excited to be here in Braidwood today and be hearing from so many new faces that will bring fresh eyes and ears to our council. It is likely that many of you on the stage here tonight will be elected, and together we will form a much refreshed council. I'd like to say thank you to the BCA and to Sue Murray in particular for arranging this evening's event. Sue has been a tireless advocate for Braidwood and would herself make an outstanding councillor, in my opinion. With me this evening is Edwina Webster. Stand up, Edwina, pretty please. The number two candidate for our Group F. Edwina has been a community champion of Bungendore for the past 20 years and will be a fantastic advocate for the entire region if we are lucky enough to have her elected. I strongly encourage everyone in attendance to seek out Edwina for a chat. She is a loud voice for those areas outside Queanbeyan, and I very much look forward to her being a councillor. Although I am not from Braidwood personally, my family has a strong history in the region. My grandmother grew up at Monga and when the sawmill was operating and went to school in town. My grandparents actually met at the Braidwood Showground Hall at a BNS back in the 1950s, and we have saved... I'm moving on. In my opinion, the number one priority that we need to collectively deliver in the next 2.5 years for Braidwood is completing the structure plan. In draft format at present, we need to bring certainty to residents regarding council's long-term vision for the town and its surround. The structure plan will identify land that can potentially be rezoned as commercial. As we all know, there's very little of that available in Braidwood or Greater Palarang for that region. The structure plan will also identify a potential route for a bypass for the town. The bypass may prove controversial at first. However, I've seen many examples of how bypasses have been the making of a town, and I know we can all work together to make it a success for Braidwood. Secondly, we need to bring forward the revamp of the former DNS site and convert it to the much-needed car park for the Braidwood CBD. This will take pressure off the on-street parking on Waller Street. To do this, we will likely need to bring forward the relocation of our adjoining council depot, and we need to work together to make that a reality. Thirdly, we need to ensure that LaSalle Street finally receives upgrades that have been promised but not yet delivered. The area in and around Jeremy's is potentially the busiest in town and is a very sad state. I drove past it on the way on purpose down here. It's got more potholes than asphalt. Unsealed roads are a huge issue. We know that. I've been studying how other rural councils address unsealed roads and believe that we have many lessons to learn. We need to commit to putting on a third grading team to increase grading of all of our roads, but also commit to sealing a certain number of roads each year as well. Was that the timer? All right, sorry. Just on unsealed roads, in the previous 12 months, I've joined with many local residents who have submitted complaints regarding the state of their roads. I've reached out to these residents and driven these roads alongside them in their vehicles in areas such as Borough, Mount Fairy, Forbes Creek, Carwalla, Williamsday, Buttmaroo and others. Seeing firsthand the state of the roads has not only helped me to advocate on their behalf, but also ensures that our ratepayers know that they are being heard, someone is actually listening and cares, and I'll continue to make myself available for those inspections if I'm re-elected. I know I'm going to run out of time, so I want to finish by saying council mergers have affected Braidwood more than any other locality in our region. The mergers have taken the local out of local government for Braidwood. So much so that Braidwood... So I'm just going to finish, I'm going to wrap it up. Basically, I'm advising people that I would, although I'd love their support on the day, I'm very happy if they vote for my man here, Bill Waterhouse, who's a local from Braidwood and will do the right thing for the area. Thank you.
Thank you, Kenrick. Our next speaker is Jenny Paisley, Independent.
So I'm a bit like James. I'm completely independent. I'm not running with any group. So my name's Ginny Peasley. I've been a long-time resident of Royalla, so in the Queanbeyan Palarang area. Grew up in Canberra, have lived in Queanbeyan as well, and worked in the area for over 40 years. Sorry, I will shout. Yes, Mandy will know that I can't talk loud enough. So my background, a little bit about me. I was a long-time public servant working at national level on major initiatives like the National Disability Insurance Scheme, delivering services to citizens and tax reform, probably not a very popular one. But I thought in the last 12 months I'd like to give back to my community. So looking at local issues and working fairly and equitably for people across the Palarang Queanbeyan district. So I think I've seen your roads. I can concur that that there's been a lack of investment in the roads for quite some time, not just the last 6 months, and the merger's probably been the key issue there. So having read the report in terms of where the merger has ended up, there's definitely been financial constraints put upon the council in terms of the things it was able to progress. My skills and experience relate to being able to work with governments, state and Commonwealth, to co-opt them into investing in our priorities. So that's where I think I'll be able to bring my cooperation and collaboration with other councillors in the new council to ensure that we've got the funding required to progress those priority projects, which I'm already supporting here for you, like your national plan in terms of the plan to the strategic plan around improving Braidwood's localities, identifying where new residential areas can be brought in, your roads, the water security, and also looking at the heritage issues that a few people here have also noted are constraining development of the area. I think I've never been afraid to challenge the status quo. Funding models can always be changed. I'm the person who will write the submissions to government to get those changed. I'd also be keen to understand and get more transparency around how decisions get made, how priorities are set. I don't think we have clarity around that, not just in Braidwood, but across all regional areas. There's certainly an inequity in how investment has been directed towards regional areas versus Queanbeyan. So I think we've got an opportunity with a new council and a refreshed set of leadership to look at making sure that people have visibility to how those priorities get set and the decisions that are made and why decisions get made. So not every decision will be popular, but people need to understand how, you know, why that decision is being made on their behalf. So.
Thank you, Ginny. Our next speaker is Bill Waterhouse, Independent.
Hello. Howdy, neighbours. Some of you are much closer neighbours than others. Look, thanks for the invitation and thanks for the day. And thanks, Sue and Nick and the team and Jamie, of course, who helped set it up. A word of warning, there's a couple of things you need to be aware of. We can't fix historical decisions. Okay, a new council can't fix stuff in the past, I'm afraid. If it's done, it's done. We just have to move forward. And we're going to be left with a substantial budget constraint. There's no question about it. There's going to be debt that we're going to have to deal with in the new council. So I would call for an external review of the whole of council operations. I think we need to collect data. And I know the business chamber has asked for improved data collection so they can make decisions properly. And we need like things like the number of applications and how long those delays really are. Because we've all heard about the delays. We know there's lots and lots of them. We don't know how long they last. We don't know the problems spent. We need to know the amount of money spent in Queanbeyan versus the rest of Palarang. You know, we look at the population figures, there's like 15,000 people live in Braidwood, what they call rural east, Bungador, Captain's Flat, Kowoola, Wamboin and Baiwong. That's 15,000. There's about 45,000 in the whole electorate, I think. That's a big slice, and we don't get a lot of you know, benefit from being such a big slice. Right, so my big thing, my key ideas, if you like, the key ideas for today, for me, is about equity and fairness. And it's about a balance. And it's about transparency as well and an openness. If something's going to be delayed, tell us why it's delayed clearly and explain it. Don't be a barrier, be a facilitator.
Council should be making it work for us. They should be talking to us. They should have mechanisms in place where we can discuss these matters openly, candidly. They've let the locality committees lapse. And they were a really good little effective way of getting the ear of councillors for a couple of hours at a time instead of 5 minutes at the start of a council meeting. In terms of their achievements over the last few years, I think QPRC has made some modest achievements, but it's insufficient. Most people I talk to, dare I say, everyone I've spoken to, is a bit disappointed. And it's mainly due to the barriers that are placed and the delays that take place with little explanation. There's no transparency. They don't answer the phone. They don't call you back when they say they will. I'm sorry, this is real. This is real life. I've been through it myself in the last 3 weeks. I had to call my friend Kenrick Winchester to get a bit of action. 8 minutes it took. Thanks, mate. Okay. Call your councillor because they can make things happen. Why should I be elected? Because I've got time and commitment. I'm a facilitator. I'm used to dealing with systemic improvements. My 44 years in education is testament to that. We shifted literacy rates at Braidwood Central School. Like in 5 years, we shifted it from bottom school to top school. I know how to bring about improvements. I then was a regional consultant, and we did it in 235 schools. I understand how to bring about improvement and change for the better.
Thank you, Bill. Kyle Booth-Hunt, who is an independent.
Hi, I'm Kyle Booth-Hunt. I am an independent, a bit like the other two up here, completely party-free. I'm here for your voice. This microphone here should actually be in your hands because that's what a councillor should be doing, standing there, listening to the community, seeing what the community needs and see how we can best solve that issue. I'm here to run for council, to be your voice, to sit there. You know, your roads need fixing. Okay, let's look at how we can fix that. Let's look at how we can improve that situation. Let's move forward. We need to look at your water supply. You know, we went through the bushfires. I'm a bushfire fighter myself, an RFS volunteer. I was out there helping people in that time of need. I'm there for the community, stepping up for everyone, not just for Queanbeyan. I live out at Hoskinstown. I know I drive on a dirt road every day. I drive on a tarred road every day. I've seen brand new roads regraded. 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, I've got potholes bigger than my wheels on my car. I know what it's like to see the conditions of the road. I drive around the community all the time, looking at our conditions on our roads, seeing what and where we can improve. You know, I'm here to look after your city. We need to look at the economics. You know, we need to make Braidwood and Bungendore and those smaller communities a place to visit, not just a thoroughfare. Canberra comes through in their peak periods, you know, summer, all to go down the coast. We need them to come here for a destination, not to go to the coast. Come here, vitalise our communities, support our local businesses. I'm a business owner myself, so I know how hard it is, especially lately in the pandemic, dealing with restrictions and everything, and how hard it is to manage a business in these peak times. We need councils to sit there and support our businesses, support our economics, support our town, and support the heritage. You know, there's a lot of red tape around heritage. Braidwood has a lot of heritage. We need to protect that, whether it's through heritage registers, through reforms, one way or another. We need to showcase our heritage, our past, but we also need to look to the future. Where are we in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years' time? I'm Kyle Booth-Hunt, and I'm your number one independent.
Thank you, Kyle. Our next speaker is Margot Sasha.
Saksa.
Saksa.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you tonight. My name's Margot Saxer, and I'm the lead of Group C. I have I've been here in the Jerrabombra community for over 20 years, and my background is that I've been part of the Jerrabombra Residents Association, and for the past 12 years I've been president. But who am I? Well, my background is I started off in NT fisheries and fisheries research. I have spent some time in the federal fisheries department until I decided to have a couple of children, and after they were well on their way, I have now joined our family business. Since 2009, I have been the business administration manager of our family business, where we employ 30 people and run 6 online stores and 400 square metres of retail. The last 3 years, I've been the finance manager, so I know exactly what it means to run a small business. And I understand some of the pressure points that the local business community has. Number two on our ticket is Anne Brown. Anne has been in Jerrabombra since 1996, and she's raised 5 children. Anne is passionate about sport, and she has a long association with the Tigers AFL Football Club, and she's really keen to ensure that kids get out and play sport as one of the key opportunities that they have in our community. So the question is, why are we running for council this time round? Well, Anne and I both have a proven track record of delivering for our community groups. And we believe that it's time that we can transfer our skills in being part of the new council. We bring together a vast experience, quite diverse, from federal government, state government, right through to local business, as well as our very proven track record with local community. So with that, our platform consists of 5 key things. Firstly is connecting communities. As we found out in the pandemic and during lockdown, that is a really important part. And we want to create new opportunities and events that sharing the variety and the uniqueness of our city and country communities and bringing us all closer together by supporting local economic development and growth. And what that means is that it's about having functions and festivals. And that is an example of such is like the Harden Kite Festival, where you have a festival that brings a community together, but it also becomes an economic driver for that local community. We are a region made up of many, many villages, all unique and all very special. And everybody who lives in each of the different villages within the council boundaries believes that it has a real identifies with the uniqueness and of that particular community. Through community festivals and participation, we will be able to showcase our community to the broader region and thus becoming an economic draw card. The next part is keeping our rates down. We have to live within our means. It's just like the household budget, the council budget is no different. We can't just keep continually raising our rates and everybody has to pay more and more money. We have to be very stringent in making sure that we live within our means. The third point is better roads. We understand that roads are really important for this area, and so we support maintaining local roads. Also, we also support the infrastructure and ensuring that you get a secure water supply so that future development can happen. So on the 4th of December, vote Group C for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Margot. The most difficult part of the night is now. We will be asking for questions. But obviously, if we had every candidate answer every question, we'd be here on election day. So the way I would like to do this is if you have a question and you want to direct it to somebody, please name the person you wish to direct it to. If not, in fairness, I have an order here and I will work through that order so that everybody gets a chance to answer something on top of their speech. I hope that makes sense to people. And what I will do, because I think it's a fairly important issue, There was one question that came in from John Tuckwell, and I would like to start off with that, and I would like to direct it to Winchester because he's lucky enough to be on the last council. You are no doubt aware that Palarang water charges have increased this year on average by 23.5%, compared to just 2% for Queanbeyan residents. With average water charges in Palarang going from below Queanbeyan to $188 above, do you think this is justified? If so, why? If not, what will you do about it if you are elected?
Well, thank you. I just want to point out Councillor Biscotti was also on the current council. He's sitting next to me as well. So he might want to go next, but I don't know about that. So I know that we went through a very comprehensive process when we harmonised the rates, and that there were members of the community that were invited. I'm pretty sure Sue, or there was definitely representatives from Braidwood, from all areas of council, and it was a comprehensive process, many meetings, got the ideas of everyone. Margot may have been involved with it as well, and she might want to put in her two cents on this as well. And I know that they went through, and it's a difficult thing to try and harmonise rates when you're going from basically a metro council, which is what Queanbeyan City Council was, to a rural council, which is what Palarang was, who had very little in common. We had 1 kilometre of unsealed roads back in the day and 2 bridges. But if we think it's unfair, and I know John had a lot to say when it came out, then potentially we do need to look at it, and it's something that we will look at, I'm sure, this new council. That's what I'm excited by, the fact we're going to have eight new councillors, I think, and they're all going to bring 100% fresh new perspectives. And if we need to go through the process or refine it, if we haven't got it quite right, and we probably didn't get it quite right first time, then let's have another look. That's all we can promise, I guess.
So there was a process of harmonising the rates, which was the rates based on your land. That process didn't include water, waste, or any of the other fees. They're different. So I didn't have any input into the water prices. I wish I had, but I didn't. So there are two different issues there. The rates are one thing. The fees and charges are another. So just make that clear, because I don't want anyone to feel responsible that I was responsible for raising the water charges by that much. Oh, absolutely wasn't. Thank you.
Okay, can we have a question from the audience, please? Yes.
My name is Pete Bodger. It's not so much a question. Irregular, and so even though my name may be on the ballot paper, it will not be counted as a vote if you decide to vote on me. However, I would urge anyone who was thinking of voting in my direction to go with a local hero whose initials are the same as my singing compatriot, Bruce Woodley. And he, Bill, the only person I could find who mentioned the word transparency. And if I was going to be progressing to be a candidate in this election, then I would have emphasised the word transparency as needed and very necessary in this forthcoming council. So good luck to you, Bill, and my sadness is immense that I am not able to pursue this particular path that I have chosen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Keith. Another question.
Hi, everyone. Thank you very much for coming. I'm deeply concerned that what I have heard tonight is very generic. Yes, we are all concerned about potholes. I've heard very little that indicates specific strategy or policy. In fact, there is a policy wasteland represented in this table that I am looking at. While I think potholes are important, I also think curbing and guttering and footpaths are important. I also think recreation centres are important. I'm also concerned about the utter dearth of any mention by anyone here of health and social well-being. No one has mentioned health. No one has mentioned mental health. No one has mentioned suicide. All of these are really serious issues. And what I'm concerned about is the lack of diversity I see represented in front of me. Everyone says, I am a business owner. What about the people who are not business owners? They are probably the bulk of people. It seems to me, you know, one of the things they say about Indonesian politics is it all radiates out from Jakarta. Is Queen Bian the new Jakarta and we are clearly the periphery? We are West Papua. Okay, thank you. Treat us better.
I think it's really helped if there's... We need to frame questions, folks. I said I'd take it in order, Bill. I'm sorry. Katrina Willis, you're the first person.
Is this order or ballot paper?
This is an order that I have here.
Okay. Thank you. I don't know your name.
Barbara.
Thanks for raising those issues. And I can see that you're quite passionate about those points. I'm sorry if you didn't feel that, you know, those issues were addressed by our introductory speeches. I know that people are really cranky about the democratic deficit here because of the merger. The Greens never supported the merger. We spoke against it in public. We made submissions. Councillor Marshall, our current councillor, moved to have a poll so that people could decide whether they wanted to demerge. Councillor overall used his casting vote to kill that. So it seems we are stuck with the situation we have, and we need to make the best of it. A few people, including myself, have spoken about the importance of listening to people and finding new ways to do that. I expect most people around here will want a local councillor. Why wouldn't you? And you may vote for, you know, local people. But you need to remember there are 11 people on the council, and even if you got one local person elected, you still need another 10 good people who are prepared to work together for everyone. I feel that the last council was divisive. It was not collegial. There were blocks. What I'm really hoping is that if I'm elected, we have an opportunity for a whole new approach. As Bryce, I think, or Kenrick had said, most councillors are not recontesting. You know, so at least, can't do my maths, only two councillors are recontesting. At least 9 people, the majority, will be fresh. And I think that provides an opportunity. So, yes, it's important for you to have local representation, but your one local person will not be enough to represent your interests. You need to identify the council you want, not just the one councillor.
Talk fairly loudly.
Yes, that's fine.
Thank you. My question is to the leader of the Labor team, who mentioned, as the previous speaker said, not the social welfare issues, but a very important issue, which is jobs. I would like to ask you, what are the jobs that you see in our region next 5 years, if you want to go a bit further? But what's behind that statement, please?
Well, I think with a fresh approach, we need to have a look at a local jobs plan. So one of my policies into the previous question, I didn't want to spend 4 minutes sort of just reading out my 8-point plan of policies and sort of take, and I'm sure it'll be in the letterbox when we get the how to vote in the letterbox. But so we need to look at two things. We need to look at how the council's internal jobs. So how do we make sure that we don't move jobs out of town? So we've got regional offices, and there'll be, if there's big cost pressures on one side, there'll be save pressures on the other side. So I want to tell you that the local council, I've signed the USU, which is the local union's pledge. We won't be outsourcing council services. We won't be beyond what's required. We won't be shutting down offices, and we'll be keeping council services in council hands. That's the internal side. The second part is how does council procure services in the community? This council spends an awful lot amount of money. Do we have a local jobs plan with that procurement? What are we doing with that procurement? Are we prioritising local business in front of other people? Are we buying our tyres locally? Are we servicing like that? That might be all yes, yes, yes. But I'm a little bit cynical from what I hear from some people. So I think we need to have a local jobs plan, and we need to look at how we use our procurement power across QPRC to support local jobs. And then the third part, which is the leadership element, which is to your point about social inclusion and other things as well, is what role is council leading to drive economic development and also to drive social inclusion, which is the labour value. That's why I mentioned labour values. So what are we doing to attract mental health services? What are we doing? I'm going to push that we sign on to zero net 50 by 2050. Now, that seems like 5 years ago that should have happened. It didn't happen. This council now sits behind the National Party room in its commitment to net zero by 2050. Now we need to, then that will unlock jobs and potential. We need solar panels on every council roof. So there's three factors: internal, how you procure, and then how you drive across the area. Thanks.
Thank you, Bryce. Tilly.
Yeah, I can talk.
I know you can.
I have a question for Bill. Can I have the poster, please? I'd like to make a comment as well. When we talk about jobs, yes, we need industrial development. But yes, it ties into a whole lot of other things. And we've been so behind the ball because Parramatta was such a diabolically awful council that the merger actually, in many ways, was a blessed relief. I mean, everybody has had a nice time knocking Queanbeyan, but there have been some good things, including the local heritage grants, which the Anglican Fathers benefited, and I'm involved with that. But industrial development requires young workers. Look around you. The demography here is not of the immediately employable age groups. Our demographic is wrong. We need to attract young families. How are they going to work? More importantly, where are they going to live? Now, I know that housing is not a local council responsibility, but you've got to get in there somehow. And so, Bill, can you take up on those side things as well, please?
Of course. Thank you. The 3 minutes, some of you know me pretty well, and I can't hold to 3 minutes, I'm sorry. What I was going to go on to was to continue my talk about equity, which is very much part of what you're talking about. I work with disabled children now. Yes, I'm retired, but I still work. So I'm still of an employable age, okay, Jilly? Okay. It comes back down to this data. We need to know what is available. We need to know how many people we need. We need to know which commercial enterprises want to be built. And I know of three right now that have got applications in, are they just being stymied, right? They're just being brick-walled or stone-walled or whatever the term is. And we need a vision. No one's mentioned the word vision yet. Yes, we've got strategic plans, but it's got to be under the vision. We need to see what we want to have. We are the most sophisticated little town here, and it bleeds over to, well, that's inappropriate. It segues over to Bungendore as well, and the other areas, Nerriga and Araluen, and no one's mentioned that word yet, and Krawarri, right, and Captain's Flat. This is a really sophisticated demography. We've got some of the world's greatest artists and musicians and writers. Okay, this is an amazing place. We've got wonderful educators. We've got fabulous small businesses, right? And yes, I've got a tiny little small business of my own too. It's just under dealt with. Like, we need a council that facilitates stuff, that makes it happen. We can be creating employment in the arts here. You know, we could be expanding the building. Building it with sympathy in under our heritage umbrella, some wonderful more new buildings and more little subdivisions here and there, all in sympathy with the heritage idea and concept, but we need work. We need to be able to get that little commercial thing operating. We need to help that. Otherwise, heritage, it's going to be our death knell. We'll just close in on ourselves. It has to be done with great sympathy and with great subtlety, but they've got to talk to the community. You have to set up this conversation. We've got to have a say in what happens. It's really, really important. And I think if you're going to vote for me, you can, I'll guarantee you that there will be at least one in 11 voices banging on about this a lot. And I take your point that we need a council of people who are like-minded. But it's always helpful to have a person who's, you know, Jiminy Cricket niggling away at your conscience. And so hopefully I'll be the Jiminy Cricket sitting beside Kenrick.
Bill, other questions? Jamie.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, in Braidwood, the only way to support jobs is to make jobs happen is through business. It's got to be done through local businesses. There's nobody else that's going to give anyone a job. The local businesses are the only ones that can do it. And as Bill said, the council have stifled business in Braidwood. But we've got the local business chamber that's only been going for a couple of months. And through the business chamber and through the Braidwood Community Association, I'm a part of Group B. If you are Group B, we can give you a communication straight to the top through Marita Grundy. So I do implore everyone to vote above the line, and myself and Marita and the rest of us, Trevor, we'll all do our best to make sure your children can get a job in Braidwood if they want it. And plus, we do our best to put sponsorship into all the organisations that make things happen in Braidwood, like Pony Club, Polo Cross, Rodeo, Races, Show, Braidwood Show, all those things.
Other questions? Yes, you may.
I actually think there's a huge opportunity with COVID, as much as it's been terrible for everybody, in terms of regional areas and growth and jobs. Business isn't the only thing that keeps people in a small town. People have the opportunity to work remotely from wherever now. And I think that's something that this council can look to in the future in terms of building out regional localities with new residential offerings where people can look to bring their children to have a rural life and still be working in Melbourne, so for some company or some government department. So I think that's something, just to add to your point there, that I think we've got opportunities to actually build business and other economic growth in this area through COVID, as much as it's been terrible for everybody.
Yes.
I just want to make a slight comment that... Can
we
take that?
Yeah, name and question.
Oh, Annie Duke. My comment really is just that I don't actually think that business is the only way that we can support people or provide jobs. I work in a lot of community groups, and I really think if we actually back the work that a lot of the community does, that will actually generate an awful lot of economic potential and jobs for people. So it's not particularly directed to anyone, but I just really wanted to balance that it's not all about businesses and small or large or whatever, but there's a lot of other really, really significant activity in Braidwood in particular that can lead to really quite inspiring and stimulating economic and social well-being. So.
Thank you.
It's interesting that a lot of people have been focusing on the issue of jobs, and we know in Braidwood that actually COVID has had a dual effect. So many people have come into Braidwood from other areas, from Canberra, from Sydney, and one of the impediments to growth here is lack of housing. And particularly, in my view, lack of affordable housing for young people, because they are the ones who are going to power along the businesses of the future. They're the ones who are going to work in our coffee shops and who are the future here if they can get decent housing. And they can't at the moment. The housing costs have gone up so that people can't afford to stay here, the ones who have been here a long time. And I think that that is one of the things, and I'm hoping that one of the people who are sitting on this bench today can respond to that in terms of telling us what they would like to see in terms of getting something happening quickly in housing before we lose the impetus.
Thank you. I couldn't agree with you more. It is critical. Now, a simple, quick way to at least start to address this critical problem of lack of housing and lack of affordability of housing is to fast track some rezoning. Now, that is entirely within the council's control. It can be done rather quickly, painlessly. So that's the first thing I'd like to say in terms of how we can get this very critical problem addressed. I know about the problem. In fact, I've been trying to get my elderly father a home to retire to in this township for almost 2 years. So I know it's a real problem. And it's a disgraceful problem, because what happens is it has a flow-on effect. So young families have their children grow up. Those families can't set down roots here and produce and have their own families, because there's no certainty about housing. So That would be my response. That's a quick fix, fast track that rezoning. And not only for housing, but also for industrial zoning and commercial zoning. So that dovetails into the discussion around business, the arts, and I'd go further. We haven't really mentioned, which I mentioned in my speech, touched on, tourism. Now, the fact that the main street looks like it is, there's all these pressures from heritage listings that are stifling improvements, expansions, enhancements. Tourism is being strangled. And Braidwood often is described as a diamond in the rough. Well, I would disagree with that. I think Braidwood is actually an heirloom piece that's been thrown to the back of the drawer and forgotten about. So I would like to see some serious action, and if I get on council, I'll be pushing really hard for things that will improve tourism for this town, that will enable this town as an heirloom piece to be pulled out of the back of that drawer and put up as the magnificent woman or lady she is. And it's not difficult. We're putting $15 million into Monero Street in Queanbeyan. We can put some money into the main street here. We can encourage artists to come. We can make people proud to stop and to spend some time and money in the town. Currently, people are reticent to do that because it's looking tired.
Yes, Paul.
Thanks. Look, there's only one person here at the table who lives in this region, and regardless of what the other groups have done, they haven't put a local in a predictably winning spot. Now, not everybody here likes Bill Waterhouse. Perhaps some people are a bit guilty. They didn't check the last wombat that was skittled for a little one in the pouch. But nevertheless, if you don't put the local candidate number one and then go on for the people that you would prefer, but put the local person one, or nobody will ever stand from this region again unless they get some support.
Questions? All right, there is one more. It's I'm sorry, hands went up. I was actually looking.
Could I just ask that one of the candidates at the front explain the voting system about numbering above and below and the advantages of which way you go and which way you lose your vote if you don't do it properly?
On our list, that would be always...
Yeah, I wouldn't mind, actually, having a strong...
Actually, I might answer that one because I've been a two-term councillor. I'm Mark Schweikert. I'm number three on the Liberal Party ticket. I'm also a former deputy mayor. When you vote above the line, you can go one vote. You can do a number one and leave it at that if you wish. And that way you don't have to number 11 boxes underneath the line. So if you want to go below the line, you need 11 to do that. You need to make sure you do 11 because if you miss one, it's counted as informal. Six, sorry. Yeah, there you go. So maybe they should have done that then. So if you've had above the line, you don't have to do the other boxes. That's one of the things you have to do. It's okay. No. So what you have to do is you have to actually then start doing other numbers above the line. If you want a preference to go to somebody else, you need to put that other number there. Correct. Did that answer your question? Sort of. What else do you have? Okay. No worries. Thank you.
Last council election, almost one in five voters didn't turn up or didn't cast a formal vote. So it's really important people understand how to cast a formal vote. You can't vote above the line and below the line. You vote one or the other. So there's the mood in the room seems to be to support the local candidate. Bill, to support Bill, you need to vote below the line. If Bill doesn't get elected, or you then need to need to number six boxes below the line. That way, your votes will be transferred and be formal. If you want to vote above the line, you only need to fill in one box. But if you do that and your chosen candidate doesn't get elected, you've binned your vote. So Bryce referred earlier to the situation in the state election. As here... preferencing is not mandatory above the line, but the Greens encourage you to make the best use of your vote, and the way to do that is to preference. Select as many candidates as you would actually like to see serving your community, but be very careful that you don't vote above and below. It's one or the other, and you can check out the Electoral Commission's website. It has an explanation, if you have friends who don't understand, help them and direct them to the Commission's website, because I would hate to see so many people vote informally again or not turn up because they're not sure what to do.
Voting is compulsory. The amount of people I talk to, they say, do I have to even vote? Yes, you get fined if you don't vote in local government elections. So tell all your friends you have to vote, otherwise you're going to get fined. So it's important that your vote counts and it's done well. So.
It's not widely known that there is a 100-metre rule at the polling stations. You will not be able to walk up to the polling booth and pick up a how-to-vote card. Okay? If they go there at all, they will be 100 metres away. It's quite likely in this area you'll drive past them and park closer. Okay? You're going to have to get your how-to-vote card in the mail or off the internet. Okay? I'm going to put them out in the mailbox, vote... According to mine, it will be six numbers below the line, and if you don't want to choose my other five people, you pick somebody here as your 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. It'll take you an extra 30 seconds to have a local voice. I reckon that's not a bad commitment, okay? 30 seconds to vote six numbers below the line, and then pick me one, and then whoever else you like to cross here, okay? I'm going to make some suggestions, but if you don't want to follow that, don't. Everyone else will probably be doing the same. So you will get your how-to-vote cards, I assume, in the mail, okay, or off the internet. And it's not widely known yet, but it's going to be a problem because lots of us are used to picking that up at the booth.
Okay, one more question.
No, I was actually... I was beaten to the punch by Bill. I was going to say the same thing. COVID has changed the rules this year. There's no... The core flutes aren't out. There's no how-to-vote cards. We're looking at other means to bring your attention to how to vote. We, in particular, are going to be doing a QR code that you can look at with your phone to take our how to vote card, so in addition to the mail out. But yes, it has changed this year.
very, very important information, I think. So how to vote cards will be 100 metres away.
Agreed that none of us will have volunteers there, so no one's getting an advantage by putting anyone 100 metres away.
How to vote cards will be in the boxes.
Yep.
Yep.
Or on the internet.
Or on the internet.
No, you can add how to vote 100 metres away if you want.
Yeah. But
I won't have volunteers.
But I think the majority of candidates are saying that they will be placing things in letter boxes. One more question.
How civilised this is. How wonderful it is to be able to come to a talk, a town hall, if you like, with candidates, and we're not shouting and we're not arguing, and I think it's wonderful, and thank you very much.
Thank you, David. What we will do now is, I realise that we didn't get everybody to get a question, I apologise for that. But we are on a schedule. What we're going to do is break up now. If you wish to speak with one of the candidates, please do so. It's your opportunity to talk to them one-on-one, or if you're nasty, three-on-one. But every 5 minutes, the bell will ring, and we would ask you to do something quite important. Move away from the person you're talking to, let somebody else in, find somebody else that you can speak with. Okay, it's a way of mingling and mixing and getting maximum bang for our buck, I suppose. All right, ladies and gentlemen, at this point, we'll end our broadcast from 2BRW. We hope you found it informative. A big thank you to Gordon Waters, who did a heck of a lot of setting up for this, and also to Sue Murray and the council, the Chamber of Commerce, for organising it. We'll await with interest.
This is Braidwood FM.